We're glad we could have Grant and Jean and Marcus back here today. I know we all miss them. So glad you can be here. And Grant's going to break the bread of life for us today, so we know we love his word. So I'll turn it over to Grant.
Well, smiley ones, where are those smiles? I see some. Oh, it is really nice to be here, and we are happy. And we're not happy because something happened. We're happy because we choose to be. Because every day you wake up in the morning, you have that choice. Miserable or happy, it's up to you. And just think of that, the power you have on those round about you. If you come in with a smiling face, you'll cheer them up. You come in with a grump on. It is so nice to see you today. We're doing well, and any of you that are on Facebook know what I do there. I go and I talk about spiritual things and about things that they won't discuss, that other people don't talk about it. But one thing that's talked about a lot is law and grace and how they relate to one another. I think we ought to know exactly what the truth is about grace and about law. Shall we pray? Father, we know that this church, this movement, has specific present truths that it must proclaim, because the other churches just aren't proclaiming them. One thing that I see is a need to understand what grace is. Father, let the Holy Spirit speak through me, regardless of the weakness of the vessel, let it come forth, and may it bless the people's understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. And would you turn to me with me to Deuteronomy Chapter 6. There are two covenants. There's the Old Covenant and there's the New Covenant. And the New Covenant is better than the Old One. Does that mean that the Old One is defective? To a lot of people, it is. To a lot of people, it is totally done away with, and they call it grace, and they are sadly mistaken. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Exodus, we have the Ten Commandments, and in Deuteronomy, we have them repeated. I want to read this. Beginning with verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Can you do that? If you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, there's a certain type of behavior that's expected of you. And is it by works that we are saved? We are not. Yet it is works. Even in grace, there's a lot of works. Did you know that? Believing is work. Faith is a work. Praying is a work. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. There's something that you must do all through the Bible. Works that are done to obtain salvation is legalism. It isn't going to work. You can keep all the laws and all the regulations and all the rules you want. You will not get you one iota of standing with God. Yet, there is an imperfection in the law, and it's not the law. The imperfection in the Old Covenant is that the blood of bulls and goats does not take away sin. And that in the Old Covenant, you had to have these sacrifices made over and over and over and over, hundreds and thousands and perhaps even millions of innocent animals were slain to forgive, to propitiate, to take away, to roll ahead sin. The imperfection of the Old Covenant was not the law, because the Bible says that the law, the way of the law is perfect, and it converts the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. There's something about the relationship between the law and grace that is beautiful. Now, the world and a lot of the churches out there believe that they are incompatible, that you can't have one and the other. But I say to you that they go together like a horse and carriage. They are perfectly, exactly right for each other, that you must have law in order to have grace, and you can't have grace without law. You have to be saved from something in order to be saved. There has to be something wrong that needs to be corrected. The law, the moral law, the Ten Commandment law, was given to the world. And something happens to us when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior that changes the whole picture and the whole way of looking at the law of God. Until Christ came along, the law, now not the Ten Commandments, because Ten Commandments are easy to keep. It's 613 that are hard to keep. You understand me? If you don't make a difference between the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments, and 600 laws, then you've got a problem. And then you'll say, it's impossible to keep the commandments. No, it is not. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing impossible with God. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. And when you're righteous by faith, righteousness comes by faith, for it is the grace of God which gives you faith in the first place. By His grace ye are saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So what is grace? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. When we give our heart to Christ, we are justified. And then we are sanctified. And we are in the process right now of being sanctified, and we will be sanctified. And when He comes, we will be glorified. Yet, all of this is done prophetically right now. By faith, we are saved. By faith, we are justified. By faith, we are sanctified. By faith, we are glorified. And it is as if we are already in heaven, but we are not there yet. So we need law, we need grace. Law shows us what we need and how we need to behave. But there's more to the Ten Commandments than just, this is what you should do, this is how you should behave. It is a prophetic. The law is a prophetic thing. The Ten Commandments are prophetic. I want to read them to you in a special way. Because if you love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and your strength, then it reads like this. You shall, verse 7, you shall have no other gods before you. That's a prophetic utterance. It's something that will happen. When you love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, you do not even think of having another God. Do you? You shall, that's a prediction, not make for yourself any carved image. Because your attitude has changed. Why would you make a graven image? It's a change in attitude. What makes grace is our attitude toward the law. Then it becomes a delight to keep these commandments, and you shall not take the Lord thy God in vain, and you shall observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You'll do these things because not the better covenant is that these commandments have been engraven upon the fleshly tablets of our heart, and now we love to do His will. Before you had Christ, before you had a perfect sacrifice, before He came along and did away with all these killings of innocent creatures, now it's all taken care of in Him. And there is a difference between the ceremonial law and the sacrificial law and the law of God, because it has not been done away with, but it has been taken from the Ark of the Covenant and engraved on the inside of us, and it's in our hearts, and we do these things because we love Him. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And when I say I keep the Ten Commandments, I keep them by faith. I know I'm not perfect. I know I slip up. But grace fills in the gap that I am unable to do. Whatever I lack, grace, the blood of Jesus Christ covers it. He fills in the gap. He makes the difference. And He gives me an incentive to keep on trying to do what is right. But some people say that any works that you do is adding to salvation. So they sit and they do nothing. You don't have, you know, it's believe and nothing else. Well, belief is an action. And it inspires action. So when I keep the Ten Commandments, it is because He inspires me to do so. When I obey His will, when I read His word, there's all kinds of stuff that we can do, not to be saved, but to show the world our testimony and our profession is true. If you're going to be a Christian, live the life. Do the works of a Christian. There is no excuse for laziness. But some people take grace as an excuse for laziness and do nothing. They're do nothing Christians. And if I break a commandment, am I lost? If I persist, can I walk away from my salvation? Yes, you can if you want to. He's not going to hold you back. He's not going to bring you, drag you kicking and screaming and protesting into heaven. If you want to go to heaven, you'll go. He will make every way He can to get you there. All you need to do is turn your life, your heart, your will over to Jesus Christ, because He is the only way to be saved. There is a difference. Grace, grace, grace. The Ten Commandments through the eyes of grace says, I want to do these things. And tell me this, which of these Ten Commandments is hard for you? I'll help you with it. You got one that's bugging you that you can't keep? You're having a hard time keeping the first one? There's only one God, and you don't make graven images. Are you having a problem? You want to go out and make an image? That's a real hard one not to do. I know that anything that comes between you and God is an image. If something you worship more than Him is an image, I know what that is. Are you having a problem with that? Is there something in your life that you have a problem with? Well, the cure for that is to get busy in the work of God. You won't have time for these images or these other things. If you love Him, you'll want to seek out His will and do it. The Holy Spirit comes and He gets inside of us. And He dwells in there, and He roots out all these secret sins that we don't want anybody to know about, and He helps us get rid of them. He makes an honest person of you. One of the things that happens to you when Jesus comes into your heart and life, He begins to produce fruit and cut away and cut off the unproductive branches in your life, and gouge and cut and mold and make and pound and work on you to make you into what He wants you to be, and you take it. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, for whom He love, He chasteneth. Is there a difference? Well, see, a lot of people think that you're a legalist if you try to do anything that the Bible tells you to do. And yet there is page after page after page after page of instruction on how to live the Christian life. So we should ignore it, right? What is all this stuff written for? It's for us to do, not to be saved, but to show that we are living the life we profess and to have a testimony. For we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And at the end, the remnant church is those that keep the commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's pretty simple. Is there anything hard about that? What's another commandment there? Honor your father and mother. You having a problem with that one? How about, do you want something else that belongs to somebody else? Oh, I know what the problem is. It's that awful Sabbath commandment. It's such a burden. Oh, take a day off once a week and spend it with God. That is so hard. That's the one everybody chokes on, doesn't want to do, makes every excuse for. Why should I? That is bondage, they tell you. It is liberation. It is freedom. It is joy, unspeakable and full of glory. It is a type and shadow of what Christ has already done for us. He's given us peace. He's given us rest from our works. Let's take a day off that He says, and not what man says, or what my imagination says, but let's do it His way. Did Jesus keep the Sabbath? Of course He did. When Jesus said, "Follow me," did He just say what? Do nothing? Did Jesus do nothing? There are works. You know, there's different kinds of works. There's works that are wrong and there's works that are right. And what's the difference? Attitude. Because our works show our faith. And there are people that go around saying, well, there's a different gospel. Today it's the gospel of Paul. Give me a break. There's only one gospel. There's not a gospel of Peter, a gospel of Paul, a gospel of Apollos, a gospel of Mark. There's not. There's only one gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul is not preaching against Peter, and Peter's not denying what Paul says, but they all work together. You get the full picture when you read the full Bible, and all of the apostles were in agreement. And did not Paul, after 7 or 8 years, or how long was it when he was away, and he went down to the council in Jerusalem, and he checked it out. He went in and he had a conference with the other apostles, and they all figured out they were preaching the same thing. Did they not? So we need to not get all wrapped up and allow people to tell you that Seventh-day Adventists are legalists. Not so. This one isn't. We preach the true grace of God, not this cheap grace, that anything goes, and whatever you do after you give your heart to the Lord is okay. Because you're going to be saved anyway. If you believe that, you haven't even got to first base. You haven't even really given your heart to Christ. Because if you did, you'd love Him. You'd want to do what He says. Because we obey Him because we love Him. That's grace. That's works of grace. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their internal parts, or inward parts, and write it in their hearts. The old covenant is the same as the new covenant. What has changed is the sacrifice is no longer on and on killing these animals. Jesus took care of it once and for all. And He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. No man comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ. We walk in a new way. Whatever He says, I will do. Wherever He leads, I will follow. Whatever He feeds me, I will swallow. Isn't that the truth? Because we love to do His will. The Ten Commandments through the eyes of grace. Do you see it yet? Do you understand? That it is by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And you're not excused from keeping the Ten Commandments, my friends. Because that will happen if you really love Him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the grace of God. And we know that this is not understood by many, many people. But we understand it. Help us, Lord, to present this beautiful gospel in such a delightful way that people might know that Your law is perfect. It converts the soul. And if it's converting the soul, then we do no longer delight to do those things that do not delight You, Lord. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. For there's no other gospel. It's for the Jew. It's for the Gentile. It's for the whole world. And so are Your precious commandments. We ask that You ever help us to remember that. And we shall be careful to praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.